I turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. Last week we started a series or a study on biblical prayer. And we found out about the power of prayer. We need God's power so we can walk in His footsteps. Tonight we are going to look at the purpose of prayer. And we're looking at a story out of 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 19. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 19. The city of Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrian army. The general of the Assyrian army was outside the walls mocking the Jews. Basically, he thought that Jerusalem would be another prize for the king Sennacherib. And it's interesting that antiquity and museums have an account of this. These people existed. God's word is true. The Bible just proves that history is what God says it is. And so they're out. They're mocking the Jews. And they give a letter to Hezekiah. And it's delivered to Hezekiah's ministers, and they bring it in, and Hezekiah reads it. And he goes to the temple with this letter. And in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 through 19, we see this account. It says, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God, and have cast their gods into the fire." I looked up verse 17. Okay. "Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands. Wood and stone, therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Go to the next verse, verse 20. "Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have what? Heard. I have heard." What we need to understand here about prayer and the purpose of prayer is prayer acknowledges that we need God's decision. We need God to intervene. You don't save the big stuff for God and we take care of the little things. God cares about the hairs on your head. He cares about what you're going to eat. He cares about doing all things for us and providing for us. The Bible says in James, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask of God to give it to all men. We have to ask for this. And Hezekiah here is asking for God's decision. He says, we need your help. He's actually asking for more. And the issue is that we need to acknowledge that God sees what we see. and God hears what we hear. And we can't sit here and basically say that God's ignorant of it. He already knows. He just wants us to see things His way. We need God's decision. And prayer here, in Hezekiah's prayer, acknowledged the need for God's discernment. He says, Lord, bow down my ear and hear. Open thine eye, Lord, open thy eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib. We can't live our lives as if God doesn't hear or God doesn't see. He says it all, and prayer communicates that. That's the purpose of prayer. Thirdly, prayer acknowledges the need for God's deliverance. He says, of a truth. Sennacherib said, yeah, all those cities have been wasted because they served the wrong God, or they served little gods. But you are Lord of everything. And hear our prayer and deliver us. And if you know this story, there was 185,000 man Assyrian army sitting outside. And if you go to the end of the chapter, it says this. I'll just go ahead and just read it. Verse 35, it says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass that he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Amedeborah and Shalrezer his son smote him with the sword. And they escaped in the hands into the land of Archimedes. And Eresh-Hadon, his son, raised in his stead. And in British Museum, there is a wall that's got this guy. And it talks about his campaigns, too. This stuff is real. So tonight, we need to understand what is the purpose of prayer. And there's three purposes that prayer does. We need to be people of prayer. Just like Jeremy said earlier today. We need to pray. He prays for us. We pray for him. The purpose of prayer is that prayer brings us into fellowship with God. Prayer is about a relationship, not just request. See, in chapter 18, or chapter 19, of 2 Kings. In verse 19, Hezekiah ends this prayer with this. He says, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand. That what? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. It's not about getting stuff. It's about glorifying God. It's about putting him into a position that he can work in our lives. When the disciples asked, teach us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 goes on down to verse 14. Christ says this. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father implies a what? A relationship. And so, what do we need fathers for when we're growing up? Protection, provision, guidance, wisdom. It's not, give me this toy, give me this candy, give me this, give me that. Fathers should know, and parents, you should know what's the best thing to give to your kids. God knows the best thing to give to us. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, saying, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father. See, the issue is we're coming into Dad's or Father's throne, and we're asking Him because He loves us and we should love Him. Amen. It's about a relationship, not just request. Prayer brings us into fellowship with God. Secondly, prayer helps deepen our connection with God. You know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of churches that help, let us help you connect with God. Okay? You don't do it through a program. You do it with a relationship. Amen. You don't do it with stuff. You do it with the Spirit.
Amen.
James 4:8 says this. Draw nigh to God. Okay? What does drawing nigh mean? Not just in position, but in relationship. We need to understand the deep things of God. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 gives us a little bit of indication about how we really connect with God. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Two verses before, it says that we can know the deep things of God. That the Holy Spirit gives us the deep things of God. It deepens our connection with God. First of all, you need to know Him as your Father. You can't know Him as your Father unless you know Him as your Savior.
Amen.
Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know right now, if you died today, you go to heaven? Or you say that's something you're still working on? You need to know.
Right.
You need to know. And this week in Bible class, I was going through 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, it says, besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith, and then virtue, and then knowledge, and then temperance, and then patience, and then godliness, and then brotherly kindness, and then ultimately love. That's connecting with God. Connecting with God is what Hezekiah did here. Now, Hezekiah was the one that Jeremy used as a illustration of a king. And he was told, remember Hezekiah's walk here? Yet God had to get his attention. Isaiah comes in and says, walks in there and says, hey, get your house in order because you're going to die. And Hezekiah went to his bed and laid on his bed and turned his face and said, oh, help me! This is terrible! How can this happen? And he repented. And as soon as Isaiah walked out the door, and God said, turn around, go back in there and tell him what's going on. Okay? Prayer is about a relationship, not just request. Prayer helps deepen our connection with God. Through prayer, we seek God's presence and wisdom because we're coming into His place. Psalm chapter 27, verses 7 and 9. David writes, he says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. You know, how many times you talk to people and they don't listen? And you might even get irritated. Will you just listen to me? Kids do that frequently. Why don't you listen? Why don't you listen? Okay. Here's the point. We got it backwards. God's looking at us. Why don't you just pray? Why don't you talk to me? Tell me what's going on in your life. Get our spirit aligned with His spirit. Hear, O God, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What will it take you to get to a point where you have a prayer life, where you can deeply connect with God, where you have a relationship, and it's like talking to a friend? Because He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
And we don't want God to hide His face. Verse 9 says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Prayer brings us into a relationship with God. It's not about just request. It's about God. Like Hezekiah. And when we do prayer requests, we ought to ask ourselves, how does this bring glory to God?
Right.
How does this further the kingdom? How does this, what is it? God wants us to have everything that pertains to what? Life and godliness. And He said this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, your clothing, your food, where you're going to live, all this other stuff will be added unto you. Let's get our priority right first. Okay? Let's get our real fellowship right with God. Because prayer is supposed is to bring us in fellowship with God. Secondly, prayer aligns our desires with God's will. Prayer helps us to submit to God's sovereignty. Matthew 6:9 says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's all about you, God. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Jesus didn't tell the disciples to start talking about, well, I have this coming up and this coming up and this coming up and this coming up. It's all about God. It's all about God. James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But the issue is we need to be submitted to Him. So in order to have our desires come in line with God, we have to say, it's not my way of thinking, it's your way of thinking. Prayer should transform our desires to reflect God's desires. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. Here's another thing about prayer. We'll get to this later on. But God says, if you pray the right thing, and you pray for my glory, it's going to happen. And we need to pray believing. We need to have faith that it will happen. That's how our relationship gets deeper. Christ in the garden, after he prays for his disciples, he says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. It represents surrender. Surrender requires submission, okay? It means that we're going to submit to whatever God has for us, and we're going to agree that that's the best thing for us. And it's tough at times. There are situations that things happen in our lives that we just do not understand, but we have to admit and we have to recognize that God is sovereign and in control.
Amen.
And he's going to get us through it. Amen. And the other thing is that we find out that if our relationship deepens with him, that maybe the way I'm thinking about things is not the way that God thinks about things. How does that happen? Well, you need to know the scripture. I don't think you can have an effective prayer life unless you have an effective knowledge of scripture. Because in James 4 it says, you have not because, he says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. If we knew what God's word was and is, we would ask the right things instead of the wrong things. And our heart will be drawn to his heart. Through prayer, we can learn to seek what pleases God. I thought it was an excellent illustration this morning about the connection between what Noah did after God, through his grace, survived the flood, and then what Paul wrote about the gift to the from the Philippians to his knees in Thessalonica. And it says it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God wants us to be in his will. He says in Isaiah, he says, all day long I've held up my hands to a stiff-necked people. And what God wants us to be is he just wants us to be aligned with him. How can two walk together except they would? You what? Agreed. How can you walk with God unless you agree with him? How can you agree with him unless you submit to him? How can you submit to him unless you have a relationship with him? How can you have a relationship unless you're willing and wanting to learn more about him? We sing the song, more about Jesus, would I know? More of his love to what? Others show. Ask yourself this question. Are my prayers about me or are they about God? Are my prayers about giving God the glory or is it about me again? Getting the glory from me. Prayer aligns us, our desires, with God's will. We should be in fellowship with him. Lastly, prayer is a weapon in spiritual warfare. We saw this in our proof text tonight. It wasn't Hezekiah's army. It wasn't some new wonder weapon that man came up with. What killed the Assyrian army? The angel of the Lord. How did the angel of the Lord come down? From Hezekiah's prayer. Daniel, in chapter 9, chapter 10, he's asking to understand these visions. And he prays. And he prays for weeks. And he keeps on praying until he gets the answer. And then God gives him the answer. Christ, when he went after his baptism out in the wilderness, fasted for what? 40 days and 40 nights. What do you think he did during that fasting? He prayed. He prayed. And then at the end of that, that's where the test came. And Christ was prepared spiritually to answer scripturally. And he defeated Satan. Folks, Christ is our example. We could do the same thing. We need to pray spiritually and scripturally so God will meet our needs. Prayer protects us from the enemy's attacks. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, it talks about the spiritual warfare realm. And then it starts talking about the pieces of armor that we wear. But in verse 18, it says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for what?
All saints.
It's not just about you, it's about everybody. And after Paul identifies the warfare, and he identifies the armor that was supposed to be, and he put it all on, then he says to what? Pray. With what? All prayer. And all supplication. So we can have the victory. You know, some people know the armor. Some people have the pieces. But if we don't pray, it's useless. And we won't be able to withstand the enemy's attack. Prayer strengthens our resolve to stand firm in the faith. While Christ is praying in the garden, what did he ask his disciples to do?
Pray.
He says, pray.
Watch and pray.
He says, watch ye and pray. And what happens? He comes back and he finds them asleep. He goes, he finds them asleep. And while they were asleep, the guards come and kill Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 40, he says, and when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. See, they were not watching. And Ephesians 6:18 says we're supposed to what? Watching thereunto with what? All perseverance and supplication for saints. When we pray, we need to watch for an answer. Oh, when we pray, we need to keep on praying until we see the solution. I'm encouraged by Baby Knox. Because there's answers to prayers here. I'm encouraged by things that we pray for, and all of a sudden things are happening. We need perseverance in this. Prayer protects us from the enemy's attacks. Prayer strengthens our resolve to stand firm in the faith. If you don't tell your commander what's going on in your life, how can he meet your needs? How can he tell you to go fight this battle? Prayer invokes God's protection and delivers. In Psalm 91, verse 15, it says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. We saw in Hezekiah's case, he says, here, see. And what did the Lord say? Verse 20, I heard. I understand. And then he says, watch this. Watch this. Deliverance comes from him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will what? Deliver him and honor him. You know something? Here's a principle. You honor God, he honors you. You turn your back on God, he turns his back on you. Okay? You trust him, he will entrust us. So the issue is, how's our fellowship with God? How's our prayer life? Do we see as prayer as an opportunity to talk to God as a friend? Or do we just go down a laundry list of things and ask God to just meet our needs? How shallow are our prayers, or how deep are our prayers? Have we aligned our prayer life to match what Scripture says, to match what God's will says for us? And then, do we see that prayer is an actual weapon to call down deliverance? tonight, do you pray for your purpose for God or for God's purpose for you? Okay? Do we tell God what to do, or do we allow God to tell us what we need? That's the issue. Let's have purpose in prayer. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask you this time of invitation, Father, just search your hearts, Lord. And Father, just help us, Lord, to pray fervently. As you say in your word, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Lord, help us to see your work and our relationship with you. We give you this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.